Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Previously on Three of Hearts. Spar and Vellum navigated Gambler's Challenge to find their dice, while simultaneously navigating life in each other's bodies. As Vellum, Spar attended an awkward blind date with Agent Ace Harlan, where he discovered his sister Sorrel was on a date with Agent Lilith Adelia, who was also seeking the dice. Spar asked Sorrel to gather information on the case from Lilith and stall her as long as possible. As Spar, Vellum drove to work with Ishbala, who quickly determined that her best friend was not behaving like himself, causing Vellum to come clean about their situation. At Suit's headquarters, Vellum received a phone call from Sorrel at Spar's desk. When she realized she wasn't talking to the real Spar, she hung up without revealing any information. Good work, Sorrel.
You are in Vellum's body, mm-hmm. and you have just arrived at Suit's headquarters. Mm-hmm. Greg Innes is at his desk at the front. I believe we established that he's covering reception today. Mm-hmm. So he waves and says, Agent Vellum, nice to see you. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg Innes.
He kind of, like, stares at you for a second and says, I had heard... Oh, hi, Agent Harland.
Good morning, Greggins.
You know, I had heard, you know, not that I'm digging into your private lives or anything, but I heard you two were engaged this morning from... Not engaged. I mean, not unless it went really well.
Spar raises Vellum's eyebrows in a reserved, but like a little bit like a do you want to continue that sentence?
Uh-huh.
The phone does not ring, and Greggins picks it up and goes, thank you for calling Suit. This is Greggins. How may I help you?
Spar nods Vellum's head at Greggins and goes to, does Vellum have an office? What's the sitch? What's the setup here?
I think it's just a regular desk.
I think he has a desk. Maybe occasionally he'll use one of the... Maybe they have like an empty office that is used for meetings sometimes. So maybe mm-hmm. he'll camp out there if there's like a big project he's working on. But I don't think he has a designated office.
So I am peeking, because I think about this often at night. Don't at me. Cubicles are a 1960s invention. So before then, there's like a combination of like you could have like sort of desk shaped offices kind of all in a room. I'm gonna drop a link in the chat, or
because I was imagining half cubicles, but I'm curious to see what you have here.
Yeah,
so this image you sent me is really close to what I'm imagining. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just a bunch of kind of just desks, really, aligned in rows, and there's not really any barrier separating mm-hmm. People from each other. Mm-hmm. I think that is pretty much correct for how I imagine the Suit's floor, but then I do imagine there are private offices for people to use if there's something confidential going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and we know Jack has an office, right? Like,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so Vellum has a desk?
Correct.
Does Spar know where it is?
I was gonna say, Jordan, I don't know.
Does Ace know where it is?
I don't know. These are questions that you have to tell me.
Spar does not know where Vellum's desk is, I'm gonna be real.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did. That doesn't seem right.
If he doesn't gamble for that desk, he doesn't know where it is.
I feel like Ace might know where it is. If nothing else... maybe did. Okay. I know it was originally set up to be a blind date, but did Ace mm-hmm. and Vellum figure out that they were going on a date together before they met up there? I can't remember.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's what made it a blind date.
Right. I wasn't sure if, like, either of them had sussed it out because they are detectives.
I mean, that's up to you, I think.
I'm going to flip a card. If it's red, Ace knows where it is. It's black.
I mean, you can, but also I think what's going to happen is Bar is going to...
He could go to his desk.
Well, yeah, no, that's the next stop. But the first stop, because he's working multiple angles here. Because he guesses that they've done a full swap, but he doesn't, as far as he knows, this could just be like a simulation where like he is in one reality and Vellum is in a different parallel reality mm-hmm. in his body. Mm-hmm. So first he's going to like take like a file out of Vellum's briefcase and write on it in Sharpie, like write something like really big across the top, like, I don't know, like an acronym of some kind, right? And put it on the reception desk and say, Greggins, I have to take care of something really quickly. Could you drop this off at my desk? Thank you. And then turn and go get coffee.
Okay.
And so, Jordan, what he's going to do is, since it's like one big room, right? Like, he just has to look for where this folder ends up.
That's amazing. I love that. That's so smart.
Very good.
He should be a detective.
I should. I'd be pretty good. I would be good at the pretend version of detectiving where it's just lateral thinking to solve puzzles. That part.
Right.
I should be a game designer is what I should be.
You should play Professor Layton. Yeah. So go ahead and flip. I don't know if this is a flip. I think it just works.
And then in the meantime, he is going to actually get coffee. What happens if he takes his coffee the way Spar usually likes it? Since it's Vellum's taste buds, does it taste bad to him when he takes it the way that he usually would? Like, how does that?
I think yes. Okay. I think yes.
How does Vellum? I think Spar would know this, but SA doesn't remember. How does Vellum take his coffee?
Vellum likes a good amount of cream and a little bit of sugar.
Spar drinks his black butt with sugar. So he looks at it and looks at the cream and looks at it and looks at the cream and puts some cream in for appearance's sake, but doesn't try it yet.
Uh-huh.
What's Ace up to? What's Ace doing?
That's a good question. On one hand, I'm picturing Ace following after Spar like a little puppy. Like, mm-hmm. okay, we're going to stick together. We're going to figure this out. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, maybe he should go to his desk and see if there's anything pressing there, or if he can find Spar's body mm-hmm. and go from there.
I think partially to save you from having to talk to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Vellum will like as they're like in the little coffee room. Wow, yeah, you know, fuck it, yeah. Vellum as they're in the coffee room, is gonna say to Ace, "All right, can you see what you can find about this dice case? And we can reconvene at noon at the front desk."
You got it, boss. He gives Vellum a thumbs up.
Vellum gives a crisp nod back in approval and goes and sort of like automatically goes to sip his coffee and is surprised that he doesn't hate it. And then he feels very weird. He feels mm-hmm. weird is how he feels. He feels weird.
Uh-huh.
Normal way to feel in this instance.
Yeah. What's Spar up to?
Yeah. Ela, what does Spar do after he gets hung up on?
I think he... If he was standing before, he's sitting now, a little bit frazzled. I think he's going to head to the front desk and see if Vellum has arrived yet.
Okay. What does Spar Vellum, Vellum Spar, SA, do after you get your coffee?
I'm going to lean in the doorway a little bit on the side that like takes pressure off my bad leg and sort of scan the room to see if I can see myself. And again, feel a little awkward at being the wrong height. This is all. Yeah. I think Spar slouches Vellum's body down just a little bit to be at his regular height, like just for a minute. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, things are clearer now. All right.
You catch Ishbala's gaze from across the room. And her eyes bulge a little bit when she sees you.
Spar plays it cool.
Ishbala is on the phone and like holds the receiver to her chest and like beckons you over.
Spar gestures at himself like me.
She nods.
He goes. He ends up abandoning the coffee halfway across the room, I think, because he can't handle the cane and the coffee without just getting everything everywhere.
Ishbala, yeah, holding the receiver to her chest, says.
Which, for continuities, I just want to note, is a radio, not a phone. Right? Because phones, I think we established, right? We don't really do phones.
Phones is for, like, within the same town. Radios is long distance. So, okay. Yeah, probably is a phone.
Okay.
And she says, good morning, Agent Vellum. This is going to be a crazy question. Are you Spar?
Spar nods crisply once and says, yes.
Okay. Things are making a little bit more sense, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. And then in Vellum's voice, he says very carefully, well spotted, Agent Ishbala.
I hate this.
And then kind of waggles his eyebrows a little bit at her, like, how'd I do?
Pretty good, and I hate it. Did you ask Sorrel to get some information for you?
Yes. Has she called?
She's on the phone right now.
Great.
Okay, let me just, I wanted to verify that someone had even asked her to do this. So, yes. Hold on. Yeah. And she gets on the phone, and she's, like, chatting with Sorrel. She's like, She gets that, like, a notepad and write some stuff down. Okay, thank you. I will let him know that you did great. Sorry, that's not patronizing, but I will let him know that we bye. And she hangs up the phone. At this point, they see Spar walking across the room.
Spar raises Vellum's hand to get hopefully Vellum's attention.
Since the office is fairly open, like we've established, is there any reason why Vellum wouldn't notice?
I don't think so.
Okay. So Vellum starts heading their way.
So Spar like leans down to well, it doesn't lean. I think Spar like is kind of like leaning against Ishbala's desk. And it's like, so did he tell you on the morning commute?
Yeah.
Okay. Ace Harlan also knows.
Ishbala nods. So this is a little weird. Should I give you two some privacy? Or, oh yeah, by the way, I know where the dice are, probably.
Oh, then absolutely not. Where are the dice?
So, one we know pretty concretely. There's a gang called the Takis that run a junkyard. Mm-hmm. They are believed by Lilith Adelia to be in possession of one of the dice. And the other one is seeing frequent use at four places down in Fossa Obscura.
Mm-hmm. Wait. How does Ishbala even know about the dice? Because I don't think Vellum told her about him.
But Sorrel would have just told. Ishbala doesn't know why, but Sorrel would have told.
Okay.
Yeah. Ishbala was just relaying information.
And from Sorrel knew because Spar had passed the note.
Yeah, Spar asked Sorrel to eavesdrop, or to ask.
Lilith?
Yeah, to ask Lilith about the case that she was working on.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. It's been a while. Even if it hadn't been a while, it would be okay. The other one is being used at four different gambling halls. Well, bars that are used as gambling halls in Fossa Obscura. Mm-hmm. We have Honeycore. Mm-hmm. We have Meyerbrook Gardens. Mm-hmm. We have Cafe Noche, and we have Jordan definitely remembers the name of this place, Scales and Tails.
Mm-hmm.
And Vellum arrives at the desk, looks at himself, which is a odd thing to do, especially just since it's not a mirror, you know, mm-hmm. it is mm-hmm. not moving how he is moving. It is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks into his own eyes and he says, Spar?
Cowan?
Oh, thank fuck.
How was your morning? Ishbala says, when did you two get on a first name basis?
Spar leans over Ishbala to check a calendar and says, about 4 years from now.
I'm leaving.
Spar sits down at her desk when she leaves.
I think Vellum will sit himself on the edge of Ishbala's desk.
Spar starts opening Ishbala's drawers until he finds the spare bottle of aspirin that she keeps for when he's out. And
uh-huh.
and like shakes honestly too many out into his palm and tries to give them to Vellum and is like, here, if you need these.
Vellum will take them.
All right. So retroactive future. Time is weird. Sorry about your date with Ace.
Oh, was that today?
We'll worry about it 4 years from now.
I saw Tati.
Spar's like doing math, and is like, it's in the period where he doesn't know if that means she's broken in or not.
She made waffles.
That doesn't really narrow it down.
Yeah, I didn't think it would, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the play here? What's the move? What do we do?
Well, we could certainly look into the bars that Ishbala mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit, I don't remember a whole lot about this particular case.
That makes sense, because you weren't on it.
I guess the first question is, do we stay together or split up?
I do always enjoy spending time with you. We do have 4 locations to inspect, unless we can eliminate any of the options.
5, right? Because the junkyard, the gang at the junkyard has one.
That's right.
How easily does Vellum blush?
I think fairly easily.
Yeah, Vellum's visibly turning pink after I do enjoy spending time with you.
Oh. If we can rope Ace and Ishbala into helping us, that will certainly cut down some of it.
Ila,
mm-hmm.
does Ace hang out in Vasa Obscura?
I think so.
Okay. Jordan, how is Ishbala's, what's Ishbala's relationship with Vasa Obscura? Because, like, her family had to sort of, like, cut ties.
Yeah, right? with the old mafia.
So.
Doesn't love it. Is from there, knows a lot about it. She goes to, like, party with Spar or whatever, but, like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, this is good. So I think you and I should go to the junkyard and we'll ask Ace and Ishbala to go down the list of the places in Vasa Obscura. And then we can reconvene with them.
Sounds great.
All right. And he goes to stand up and, like, definitely, like, does not get it on the first try. Just like, but, like, where the weight of his, like, where his feet need to go and the cane. And he just, like gets, like, a couple inches up, like, plops it back down, like, looks down at his feet and tries again.
I think Vellum chuckles a little bit and stands and walks over to offer his arm to Brace. In case Spar wants to.
Yeah, I think he takes the help.
Yeah.
And then drops Spar's arm pretty quickly, so they're not, like, seen, like, you know, that close.
Ishbala does return to her desk at this time, and it's just like, I just needed a minute. So you're in each other's bodies and from the future.
Yes.
And this isn't a prank.
Nope.
No. Okay.
I don't do these type of pranks, really.
Okay. Well, okay. And I'm not dreaming.
Spar sort of squints a little bit and is like, I don't know. You might not be real, right? I don't know.
We might be dreaming.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on here right now.
Just gonna say, I'd probably be losing my handle on reality too if I was in your situation.
Yeah, the height differences really just makes everything feel a little wibbly wobbly.
Agreed.
Wait, you're from the future. Can you give me any cool hints?
Jordan, tell me about a bad relationship Ishbala has between now and 4 years from now.
Ishbala befriends a drag racer in Fossa Natura who
is a drag queen.
No.
Oh, wait. I've got it. Yeah. Uh-huh. So Spar's like thinking, and he's like, you're going to meet a mechanic named Darla. And ask her about mods for your car. I think if you get that relationship started, you might win some races.
She nods, says, noted. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully this makes money for future me. So really, it's. And he does like an extremely Spar like sort of like toss of the head, like a little shrug, kind of like a flirty little motion.
Mm-hmm. Ishbala says, I feel queasy whenever I see like you're this body do something like that Spar does.
Right. Sorry. And he like makes his face very serious.
Thank you.
I think Vella makes a face seeing Spar make a serious face with his face and then decides to lean forward and give him a peck on the cheek and say, let's go.
Wait. Ishbala's mouth would fall open.
Uh-huh. Come along.
What? No. What?
Spar's like, we have to tell them that they're half of the plan. We can't just.
I figured we could walk and talk.
Right. I guess we're walk. Should we grab a meeting?
Are you future boyfriends?
Spar looks at Vellum.
Vellum nods. We're future nods. Boyfriends.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm blushing.
Oh.
Ishbala says, okay, we need to focus on this mission before my head falls off my body.
Yep. Let's grab Agent Harlan and we'll meet outside.
Okay. We do that.
Yay.
Doodly doodly doo.
I'm gonna condense out of character, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And say, I would like, and Ela, you can contradict. I would like them to go top to bottom down the list that Jordan gave us, so saving scales and tails for last.
Okay.
Unless they want to like split up and take them two and two. I don't really care.
Uh-huh.
I gotta imagine that like since we're all in the same city, we've got like a walkie-talkie sort of situation or a way we can all contact each other.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Yeah. So if they do find anything, they can call it into us.
Yep.
Cool.
Is there anything else that they would tell us or we would tell them?
I don't think they would say anything. I mean, I only control one of these characters.
Yeah, I can't think of anything offhand. I guess if I think of something, I'll mention it later, but.
Okay. We should go to the Metro, I think.
Woo.
Yeah. I mean, Ela already gave us the Metro music, so yeah, we're here. We're in the Metro. The crowd is amazing. Yeah.
Evening. My My name is Jordan Quiverance. I'm the host, GM, and wingman of this here podcast. I don't know if I should... We're recording this on Christmas Eve. I don't know if I should say, like, happy holidays. Hope you have a Merry Christmas. You'll be hearing this in, like...
March, maybe?
March. I hope you had a great December, regardless of when this comes out.
Happy Jordan's birthday or my birthday, as applicable.
Definitely not my birthday, because that's in January.
No, but if it comes out in February, your birthday will, depending on when in February, your birthday might be closer.
Yeah,
so it'll be like a happy slightly belated or happy slightly early essay's birthday.
Got it. Yeah.
But just know that when it was Christmas for us, we were wishing you happy holidays.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Today's agent fact is that Ishbala will be wondering for the remainder of the session whether she's real and what that means. This is the most existential she's ever gotten.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She's normally pretty straight and narrow, but now she's like entering like philosophy 101 internally.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell people where they can find you on the internet?
Oh, yeah. The best place to do is on Three of Hearts Discord. I'm on Blue Sky and Instagram at Jordan Quiverns, both of them, if you're on those places. That's it.
All right. Good afternoon, evening, or morning. My name is Essay. I don't know who I play at this point. I'm most of the way through slightly too much coffee. My pronouns are she, her. You can find me online at Citrus and Salt on Tumblr, and also, of course, in the Three of Hearts Discord. My essay fact for the day is, I think 2 days ago, a friend of mine texted me, and she was like, I was listening to your podcast, and I misplaced my tape, and now I can't find it. Can you help me? I figure you can, because, like, I was listening to your podcast, so it's like you're here. And then, like, a minute later, she texted me and was like, found it, thank you. So, you know, we are reaching through time and space.
Wow. Yeah.
Incredible.
To our friends. So, shout out to Emily. My spar vellum, vellum spar, which is different from Velspar, their ship name.
Right.
My body swap fact for the day, I think, is that, like, Spar knew about Vellum's leg, obviously, but like did not have a good understanding of how like this, how the stress works out on his opposite leg, on the leg that's like compensating, and now is more than ever. He was already like trying to find things for Vellum to sit on all the time, but like now he is updating his inventory of like which parts of Vellum to especially help like massage or take care of at the end of the day, and also evaluating the number of painkillers he needs to start keeping on hand.
Aw, that's so cute.
Very nice.
Yeah. Also, it occurs to me that because pain is like a very fascinating thing, like you can never really fully understand someone else's pain. You can only like do your best to imagine it. Mm-hmm. Body swaps would be a real groundbreaking medical technology, because a doctor could just pop in your body for a second and be like, oh, got it, and then they'll know like intimately what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. yep. Although sometimes it is very funny. I was full of anecdotes and coffee. I was at my doctor's office and I was complaining about like a new kind of chronic pain that I had, and I was like sitting on the exam table, and she like poked me precisely where it hurt, and she was like, here and here, and I was like, ow, yes, ow, stop that. Which, you know, sometimes your doctors are psychic, or you have a classic presentation of a disease, so thumbs up.
Oh yeah, my physical therapist does that like on a bi-weekly basis.
Ela.
Hello. Good afternoon, morning, or evening. This is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I use they and he pronouns, and today I am playing Agent Cowlin Vellum, who also uses they and he pronouns, and Agent Ace Harland, who uses any pronouns. Today's Agent Ace fact is a continuation of the last episode's. So Ace has, in fact, pretended to be the orange kitty cat that is now the receptionist kitty, who I have named Lucky, because that was one of Ace's nicknames. Mm-hmm. So now that's this kitty's nickname.
Love it.
So he has pretended to be the cat, and he claims that it was to test the other agent's perception and investigation skills.
Love that.
To see if they could clock that he was not lucky, etc.
He is, in fact, unlucky.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And for Agent Vellum, I think that last time we talked about Ace and Vellum, or Vellum helping Ace try to figure out what's going on with all of his terrible magic luck. And so this is maybe a future fact, or maybe this is future from where this scene had happened 4 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So it would be ongoing in current timeline. But I believe that Vellum has a pair of notebooks that they are, and there's probably a clever name for it, but they're duplicate books. So they work where you write in one and it writes in both.
Oh, cool.
And he has one and Ace has one, and they keep notes on Ace's current curses. Vellum tries to work out different hypotheses and things to try to see what affects them. I think Vellum's current focus is trying to narrow down the variable of time, whether these incidents keep happening on a cycle of certain number of days, or moon cycle, or within so many days of each other in frequency. The hope is that if they can predict when the next one will happen, that they can study it better. I don't know that they've gotten a whole lot of like breakthrough or anything, considering Ace is still struggling with this stuff.
Right.
Maybe it's a little bit more predictable on a when the next incident might happen basis.
Yeah. Nice.
So there you go.
Thank you. I'm trying to think of a name for this notebook. I feel like a play on carbon paper. It would be applicable.
I'm also thinking.
This thought brought to you by me not being able to sleep at 3 a.m. last night. So,
God, there I need you to go. Get more insomnia, guys. It seems productive.
Uh huh.
Today's Jordan fact is that I just glanced at my bookshelf and saw that there's a novel by Pete Wentz on it. And I don't know how that got there. I have to assume it's Crimson's.
Like the Pete Wentz?
Yeah, like Pete Wentz, the Fallout Boy. I just Googled it to see if it's a real thing. He wrote a novel called Gray that came out in the year 2013. Yep.
Huh.
Now you all know. That was less of a Jordan fact and more of a Pete Wentz fact for you.
You know, there's never a bad time for a Pete Wentz fact.
Friend of the show, Pete Wentz.
Uh huh.
We don't know. Could be.
We don't know. Could be. By March, anything could happen. All right.
Anything could happen.
All right. Good afternoon, morning, or evening for the rest of the episode.
Way to get to this junkyard? Can we take public transit there? Is it a place we taxi to? How do we get there?
I think either of those things works. It's sort of at the heart of town, I would say.
Really? A junkyard?
No, you're right. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
It's sort of on the outskirts of town. Sort of the opposite of what I said the first time.
Yeah, okay.
I imagine that Stute's headquarters is more like at the heart of town, like, it, mm-hmm. you know, that yeah. the sort of downtown adjacent area where all, like, the government and government adjacent buildings live. Mm-hmm. I assume that's how every town's organized. I've only lived in one. So you definitely could take public transit to, like, a certain point and then just walk a tiny bit to get there.
Unless Ela and or Vellum have objections, I think we do that.
That sounds fine. We agree, so we do all right. it.
Okay.
En route, Spar, like, fusses with Vellum Spar's hair. Vellum did not, like, do it right this morning. It's hard. It takes practice. And so he's, like, there's, like, this yeah. one curl that he's, like, trying to get not to stick straight up. And, like, on a good day, he himself has, like, an 80% chance of getting it to lay down. So Vellum, like, stood no fucking chance.
Mm-hmm. I should say, this is probably relevant in the past. Sorry, I got kind of swept up. Vellum knows a thing or two about the talkies.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Because they are a greaser gang. And they were actually founded by former rival Devante, who's no longer a member at this point in time that we're at right now. But definitely, I think Vellum has had some tension with them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I would allow an intelligence streetwise flip to see what you know, specific, like anything useful you know about them. And I'll give you a +1 to this flip.
Yeah. I almost wondered if Vellum should bring his motorcycle before we decided on public transit. And I don't know if that would be a good idea or a bad idea if he's familiar with these people.
I mean, I think it would be a bad idea because, like, riding a motorcycle is mostly managing your body weight. And, like, you're not in a body you're familiar with.
That's very true.
I don't, in the same way that, like, I don't think Spar could write a legible note right now. I don't have confidence that, at least in maybe with practice, right? Like, maybe as Vellum is getting used to Spar's body, or, like, if they took some time in the parking lot. But, like, bikes are dangerous and primarily controlled, like, by knowing your own body, so.
Yeah. This is all very good point. Okay, you said intelligence and streetwise?
Yep, with one extra flip.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 4 for intelligence, 2 for streetwise, 1 for eclectic, 1 for healthy, 1 extra. And let me mark those down.
As you're doing that, I'm enjoying the mental image of Greggins having delivered a folder that says something like, I don't know, ASAP urgent in, like, the biggest possible capital letters, because that's the only way to write, like, with your offhand is, like, and make it not look hideous without practice, right? Mm-hmm. Is just, like, big old blocks. And that's just, like, sitting on Vellum's desk.
Yep.
And Vellum was like, put this on my desk, and then fucking fully disappeared.
Jack passes by later in season and is just like, well, hope that's nothing.
Can Jack see it?
I was going to say, Jack being carried by Greggins for some reason sees it. And
Maybe he hurt his little paw.
Oh, poor guy.
It's okay. He just, like, stepped on something sticky. He doesn't.
Oh, okay.
He's unhappy. Okay. Once it gets cleaned, he'll be fine.
I got 2 Jacks, a Joker, and a 3 of Hearts.
That's the name of the podcast.
I know. Crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is, let me make sure I'm looking at Vellum sheet. That is 5 successes and a Joker.
Okay. 5 successes and a Joker. That's really good. So for 5 successes, you know that, ooh, this is good. Okay. So for 5 successes, so you know that this junkyard that they operate out of, they use to, like, they get parts for cars there, they fix up cars, mod cars, etc.
Is Darla going to be here?
No, I thought about that, but no. They also use it as a drive-in movie theater. Like, they have their own projection set up out there, and they show movies. Okay. And they make money that way, which is why they're called the Talkies, because I'm really clever.
Oh, that is adorable. I love that.
Thank you. You also know, for 5 successes, a secret entrance that they use to sometimes move in and out ill-gotten car parts which is a good way to get to like this, like a warehouse in the junkyard. That's like kind of the heart of their like actual car operation. And it's a tunnel and it's like pretty like easy to navigate through. The problem is not too long, probably before this point in time, when you were consulting for another case, you had cause to tell Juno Fisticuffs about this very tunnel. Juno being one of the agents who's on this case. And that is the Joker.
And we haven't seen Juno yet.
Correct.
So Juno could be here or could have already been here. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, you have no way to know. But Juno, you just know that Juno has that information and you don't know what Juno's been up to.
Okay. Vellum will fill Spar in on all of that. If nothing else, it's a good it's good to know in case they need to make a hasty exit. Maybe they can get out that way.
Mm-hmm. Spar gets his little detective notepad from Vellum, who presumably has it in his briefcase or like coat pocket or something.
Yes.
And does his very best to make notes to himself. Oh. And like keep switching the pen back and forth between his left hand and his right hand, and it's just like, it's bad, it's not good.
Oh. So yeah, when you get to the junkyard, or are you taking, I guess the question is, are you taking that entrance, because that's a little bit different about how you would get there, or are you going in the front door, front fence?
What do we know about how this gang has been using the dice? Like, have they, do we just know they have it? Are they trying to fence it? Have they been using it like to gamble with? Are they using it in like a, as a bargaining chip? Like, what do we know?
The reason Suits even knows about it is that it is being used to gamble with and basically like con people throughout Vasa and Tura. That's sort of, that is the extent of what you know.
My gut would be not to go in through the secret entrance, if nothing else, because they already don't like Vellum. Mm-hmm. And if they get caught going in through the secret entrance, I think that's going to look worse.
Mm-hmm. Do we know, do the Takis like host gambling at their clubhouse? Or are they just like, is it just like, oh, they have this die and are taking it to gamble elsewhere?
For five successes, gambling definitely does happen at like their movie nights. Like, you know, maybe you see a movie and then if you're in the circle, afterwards you head back to the warehouse and some dice games happen.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. We should try going in the front first.
So okay. We do it.
Okay.
The subtitle of our podcast.
There's a chain link fence that sort of, you know, marks off the territory of the junkyard, of the Takis. You know, it's unmarked, but a lot of people know where it is. The gate is currently like closed and there is a padlock on it. And the fence is like, there is barbed wire along the top of the gate. Clearly like unprofessionally applied barbed wire. Like at one point this fence didn't have barbed wire and someone just sort of threw it up there.
Mm-hmm. Question. Do they operate a legitimate business? Like, are they actually a junkyard that like mechanics could go to and like buy parts out of?
Yes, absolutely.
And that is currently not open for business?
It does not seem that way.
Okay.
But I mean, you could try hollering or something, but all you know is that the gate's closed. It looks kind of quiet here. Mm-hmm. But you don't know anything else, you know, beyond that.
Yep. I have ideas, but I want to let Ela go. Okay. If you have anything, Ela.
I have none ideas, so go for it.
I got to imagine in like a field agent's kit is like Swiss Army knife and like, if not bolt cutters, right? Like something that we could like clip wires with. So first I would like to use Vellum's cane to poke at the barbed wire and see if we can like move it since it's not professionally attached.
That's cool. I like that. So go ahead and give me a, well, again, I don't know if this is flip worthy. Sorry for low flip episode, but you guys are just being smart.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind not flipping. That's always fine by me.
I think you could move it. Yeah.
So then I would like to use Vellum's cane to sort of like nudge and pull and twist enough the barbed wire, like enough out of the way that Vellum and Spar could shimmy over the fence.
Okay. This is going to be a flip. Think like agility, maybe even panache. We don't use panache enough to just kind of like maneuver it in a way that like won't, the barbed wire is not going to like come down on you guys, you know,
or
be noisy. Sure. I think if you're using the cane to do it, then it's your flip.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if the flip was for moving the barbed wire or for getting over the fence.
No. Yeah. Moving the barbed wire. Sorry.
Okay. That was.
Can Vellum do anything to assist? Like to maybe not.
Like what? Okay.
What was the flip again? Sorry.
Agility, panache.
All right. Agility is 3. Panache is 1. So that's 4. Healthy is 5. Could I convince you this is sneaking?
Yes.
Okay. If I get successes, then I get something nice for that. So because of my ultimate, I'll cover you. So instead, I'm going to do agility is 3, sneaking is 2. So that's 5. Healthy makes 6. That is 1 success, 1 joker. Ela, do we want to ante this joker or hold it? I could spend some drive. Because we're not in combat yet, but we are getting later in the episode.
Right. I'm worried that something will happen towards the end of the episode.
Okay. So we'll spend some drive?
Where perhaps we might want to ante a joker.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll spend some drive.
Okay.
1 drive. 2 drive. 3 drive. All right. I've spent 3 drive to get an additional success. So that is Queen of Spades, Queen of Clubs, Ace of Clubs, and a joker. 2 successes, 1 joker.
For 2 successes, you are able to quietly move the barbed wire. I do think for the joker, like, it is so, like, poorly placed that some of the wire literally comes down on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, scratches up your face and you're going to take 1 damage.
Okay.
Cool. Can Vellum climb over the fence?
Yeah, give me agility, athletics, I think.
All right. Agility is 1. Athletics is 0. But body and mind kicks in, so that's 2 more flips.
Nice.
And I'm healthy.
Nice. These are all good things.
I would offer to help, but I think moving the barbed wire is counting as my help here.
Yeah. It's
like preventing you from taking a disadvantage, I think.
Yeah.
I got a Queen of Clubs and a King of Hearts.
Yay.
Nice. That's 2 successes, which is perfectly acceptable amount to hop a fence. So you do that.
Cool. Now that I'm on the other side of the fence, can I open it to let Spar in?
It is padlocked, so I'm not quite sure how that would work.
Are there other entrances, though?
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, we'll say down the fence a little bit, there's another gate that can be opened from the inside.
Okay. We do that.
All right.
We agree, so we do it.
Yep.
Is that the episode title? I think that's the episode
title. That's the episode title, yeah. All right. Rule of threes, that's it, yeah.
So, you're in the junkyard. There's a bunch of scrap in sort of, like, clearly arranged piles that create, like, walkways through it.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a very kind of, like, big open lot. Where and like a popcorn booth where the movies are done.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty chill right now, but you actually do, as you go like kind of further in, you see an individual talking to a pixie that is in his hand. It's a human guy talking to a pixie.
Is the pixie Juno Fisticuff?
It is Juno Fisticuffs. He is a pixie dressed like a really stereotypical like trench coat fedora wearing detective.
And my note from last time says that Juno is a retired boxer.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I also have he, him as Juno's pronouns.
Correct.
Okay, I think I misgendered Juno earlier in the pod, so my apologies. No.
I won't tell anyone.
Well, the recording will. So.
Oh, yeah.
R.I.P. me. I'm no longer a hashtag ally. I will resign.
Oh.
By the way, I... Essay noted man hater. I want to say also, by the way, that Juno and Lilith are both named after listeners who subscribe to our Patreon. So thank you both Juno and Lilith for subscribing to our Patreon. And I hope you like your characters that are named after you.
Excellent.
If you want to hear a nerdy memory review, you can also subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/threeheartscast.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Yes. Okay.
Do we recognize the person that Juno is talking to?
No. It is very clearly part of this group based on their leather jacket and slick back hair. They also have what is definitely an illegal firearm at their side.
Good, good, good. How does the conversation seem to be going? Is it friendly? Is it seconds away from turning violent? What is the vibe?
That sounds a lot like a wit empathy flip to me.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3 for wit. Empathy is 1. 1 for healthy. I can't remember. I last did brawn. Now I'm doing wit. Do I get that again?
Okay. So body and mind, kicks in. Yep.
So 2 more for that. Well, I got 3 of my 4 aces. Wow. And a joker.
Wow. So that's 3 successes and a joker.
Mm-hmm. The good news is I don't have any more jokers.
Yeah. Somewhere in the world, Ace is getting some kind of power boost right now and doesn't know why.
Yeah.
Okay. So, 3 successes and a joker. Things seem to be getting argumentative and Juno looks a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But then... and you get the vibe that, like, Juno's kind of, like, holding back, like, a temper. But then Juno sees the 2 of you and feels like, oh, backup's here.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, and I tell you what, 4, if you talk to me like that again, you'll get this fist right upside your nose, sir. The greaser grabs Juno and just throws him in your direction.
Oh, wow.
Spar tries to catch him.
All right, give me agility, athletics.
Agility is 3, athletics is 2, so that is 5 healthy make.
Do you think it's fair to give you a -1 flip for being in Velm's body?
I will accept it.
Okay.
Does that get negated out because Spar probably has experience catching pixies?
Ooh.
No.
Aww.
I tried. 3, yeah, no, I that's a good... I would have taken that. No, I think that's good. 3 successes, 2 kings and a jack.
Yeah, you catch Juno, no problem. I didn't know I was getting backup, kids, but thank you so much for your assistance.
Glad we were in the area and could help.
You see now that the greaser is pointing his pistol at y'all.
Good.
I'd like to duck behind some junk, please.
Yeah, you do that. He says, you suit agents, get off this junkyard. Stop harassing us before I get really violent. And Juno says, I had the dice I came here for, but this kid took it back from me.
Ah, so does he currently have it in his possession?
He does, yes. And he turns to Spar, aka Velm, like Velm's body.
Yeah.
And is like, by the way, thanks for that tip. It's what got me in here. I appreciate that.
I'm glad it helped.
Because of, I flipped for like Juno's ability to get in and he didn't do so hot. Mm-hmm. And then after Velm's Joker, I gave him an extra flip and he got a Queen of Hearts.
Nice.
Nice. So one of us needs to tackle this greaser.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ela, do you want to take it in Spar's body or should I take it in Velm's body?
I want to try.
Go for it.
All right. Velm's going to attempt to tackle this greaser. Would that be brawn athletics again?
Or brawn melee.
Okay. Athletics and melee are the same for Velm.
Gotcha. The same being none?
Yes. The same being none. But that is brawn again. So... we got 2 for brawn, none for athletics or melee, 1 for healthy, and 2 for body and mind again.
Before Velm and Spar takes this action, can Spar and Velm grab Spar's gun?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Good idea.
All right, so Spar's going to, like, put Juno on his shoulder, figure Juno can do whatever he wants from here. And is going to draw his gun out of the Vellum's holster and is prepared to shoot to try again with I'll cover you. So I can potentially give dodge.
Cool.
If I succeed, which we'll see.
I'm going to say that Juno also has like a tiny like rifle, like almost like a sniper rifle that has trank darts in it.
Yeah. And can he set up like a little tripod on Vellum's
absolutely
shoulder?
So I'm going to say that if you want to do an agility firearms check while Ela does his thing, you'll get a +1 mm-hmm. from Juno.
I would like to do
okay
it. Agility is 3 and firearms is 2, so that's 5. Healthy makes 6 and Juno makes mm-hmm. 7.
I got 2 jacks and a king.
Nice.
For tackle.
Okay.
Is it super effective?
It's quite good. I want to see, I need to know, before I give this whole scene, I need to know what SA got?
Yes.
1 success. I burned 2 more drive and did not come up with another success, but also no jokers.
Okay. But how does, I cover you needs like a few successes to work, right?
It needs 3 to do anything. Yeah. So that's it. Nothing special happens.
So this guy got 1 success and then a 3 of hearts, which is the name of the podcast, for 3 total successes.
This guy being the greaser?
The greaser.
Okay.
So,
did Juno flip anything?
I was giving Spar a bonus for Juno.
Okay, cool.
So he whistles, the greaser, and as you're coming at him, and from the warehouse behind him, like, one of the windows is thrown open, and someone starts, like, firing a, like, Tommy gun at Vellum.
Oh, good. At Vellum, or
at... No, you.
Okay.
What's your dodge?
Vellum's dodge is 2.
Okay, so you're going to take 1 actual damage as you tackle this guy to the ground, and a bullet grazes your back.
Okay.
But you do have this guy pinned. And I'm going to say his gun goes clattering out of his hand.
Cool. Can I pull him upright with his arms behind his back and kind of use it as a deterrent from continuing to shoot at me?
Yeah, you sure can. Give me a brawn presence to try to... Or no, that's 2 of the same stats. Give me a presence persuasion to make everyone stand down.
Presence is 3, persuasion is 2, 1 for healthy, 1 for eclectic, 2 queens, and I'm gonna flip some drive. I haven't used any yet. Well, that's 3 with nothing. Should I keep flipping for drive?
How much drive do you have?
I have 6, so I can flip 3 more.
I mean, it's getting late in the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm holding one drive left in reserve just in case. So I would say if you want to flip at least 2 more, if you want to flip all 3 more, like, because you've run through your jokers, right?
Yes.
So we're safe.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Did I have 2 queens before? Is that what I said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. I flipped 3 more and I got an ace and a queen of hearts.
Wow. How many is that?
So that is 6 successes.
The guys in the warehouse like drop their guns and like put their hands up. And mm-hmm. the greaser that Vellum is holding, his name is Ignacio. And he's like.
Another Ignacio?
Oh, do I already have an Ignacio?
Ignacio's the Skeleman.
Oh, it sure is.
From Quiet Year.
I just like that name.
Many,
all right,
many guy... people can be named Ignacio.
That's so
I
true.
Know like 6 Katies, you know? Why not?
Mm-hmm. Is he related to the others? We don't know.
That's not usually how first names work, but could be. He's like thrashing about in Vellum's aka Spar's hands, so Spar's hands, really. And he's like, hey, come on, guys, what the heck you doing? And his friends are like, nah, boss, this is not worth it. They like close the windows.
Can Spar in Vellum and Juno at that point just kind of like stroll up and start like patting down Ignacio's pockets for the die?
Absolutely. Yes. You guys get the die.
Excellent.
Which looks like a regular die in most ways, except for that the 1 is a like an open palm. Which is one of the symbols of the gambler.
Ooh. Cool.
You both just feel like a wave of relief wash through you, like a certain, like a little dopamine surge, like a certainty that you are on the right path, you're doing good.
Cool, cool. Vellum looks to Spar and says, well, that's one down.
Spar says, one to go.
I just flipped for Ishbala.
Did Ishbala and Ace stick together or split up for flavor?
Stick together. Stick together. Cool. You guys get a radio from Ishbala around this time. Like mm-hmm. As you guys are like heading out. Agent Felspar, do you come in?
Spar looks at Vellum like,
oh yeah, because Juno.
Uh-huh.
Well, I wasn't even thinking of Juno. I was thinking, well, you should follow those. But yeah, no, if we have Juno, then yeah. Vellum. I'm gonna say probably Vellum is carrying the Spar in Vellum is carrying the walkie as the tech. Mm-hmm. And so Spar in Vellum hands it to Vellum in Spar.
Okay. Vellum will answer, yes, Agent Ishbala.
Oh, the situation down at Honeycore, a hostage situation to be exact, and the hostage is Agent Adelia, meaning Lilith. I mean, me and Ace are good to engage, but I thought I should let you know that one of the hostage takers is Tatiana.
Oh dear.
Bar size.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dogtective, our mintro theme is At Last, a Piano, and our outro is Ghost plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.